In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, October 22nd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Muslim attackers destroyed three churches in a province of Indonesia last week. The local government responded by destroying another three churches on Monday, targeting unpermitted church buildings. Christians make up about 7% of the 256 million Indonesians. According to Foreign Policy magazine, over 1,000 Christian churches have been shut down in Indonesia since 2006. A Singapore megachurch pastor was convicted of criminal breach of trust for the misuse of $24 million of church monies yesterday. Pastor Kong Hee was financing his wife's pop music career in the United States. The City Harvest Church claims an attendance exceeding 18,000 and targets an upwardly mobile single population with a message geared toward material success. 1 Timothy 6 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Toyota has issued a recall of 6.5 million vehicles on a power window switch defect. The recall affects automobiles made between 2007 and 2011, including Camry, Corolla, and Highlander models. The Word of God still dominates the publishing industry worldwide. More Bibles were distributed last year than any year previously, according to a report issued by the United Bible Societies. Over 400 million Bibles and scriptures were passed out, with Asia and the Americas receiving the most copies. This represents a 6% increase over last year's distributions. The next best-selling book of all time was Charles Dickens's Tale of Two Cities, with over 200 million sold over the last century. There's no question about it. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Marijuana use has doubled in the last decade in the United States. About 10% of the adult population, or 22 million persons, use the drug, and about 23% of teens admitted to having used marijuana in the last month, according to the Associated Press. Vice President Joe Biden has announced he will not seek the 2016 presidential nomination. His reason? Time has run out for him to mount a serious campaign. Donald Trump still leads in the Republican race with 32% supporting him, followed by Ben Carson and Marco Rubio. Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan is in the running for Speaker of the House. However, conservatives are hesitant to support his nomination. Ryan is known for his support of No Child Left Behind, the prescription drug bill, and the bailouts. The Conservative Freedom Caucus is still backing Representative Daniel Webster from Florida. The American Academy of Pediatrics is strongly advising women not to drink any alcohol whatsoever during pregnancy. In a recent report, the group said, quote, "No amount of alcohol should be considered safe to drink during any trimester of pregnancy," unquote. Women who drank during their first trimester were 12 times more likely to have a child with neurodevelopmental issues, and women who drank during all trimesters were 65 times more likely to have these problems. High Mount High School is under fire in Illinois for pushing Muslim ideology and vocabulary on the students. Included on the vocabulary lists are words like jihad, Islam, and Quran. No word as to whether they plan to teach on Christian redemption, justification, and propitiation in the same public school classrooms. Road rage in Albuquerque, New Mexico ended terribly when a 4-year-old girl was shot to death in the back seat as her parents watched. The suspect is still at large. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. The Nike Corporation just released its first self-tightening, self-lacing shoes. The prototype pair was sent to Michael J. Fox, who sported the concept shoes as the lead actor in the 1989 futuristic film Back to the Future. USA Today is also recreating the October 21, 2015 front cover that appeared in the 1989 film. Big Brother in the state of Indiana is busy checking immunization records for children residing there. Parents of 500,000 children received letters last month noting that their children have not yet received the human papillomavirus vaccine. Some families took this as a heavily coercive move on the part of the state. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association reports that Indiana parents can opt their children out of the statewide immunization registry. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Thursday, October 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you in studio, back from vacation after spending 8 days on our 25th anniversary. Steve Ellis in studio with me. Steve, so
you have time for vacations?
I took 8 days. Yep, it was wonderful. Had a really, really good time. And thanks for filling in for the couple of days there. And you're at your 30th.
Yeah. Yeah, 30th. Yeah, and this year. Yeah, August.
Okay, so you're planning on going...
We had all kinds of plans.
Okay.
And none of them came to fruition. Maybe I'm just too busy.
Okay.
How did you get away?
Well, you just have to get away.
Yeah.
You just have to plan it and go. So we spent pretty much the week over on Maui, and as part of it, took a day up on Haleakala, the volcano that's no longer active, but that represents a huge portion of the island of Maui. So anyway, we went up the mountain and captured a brochure for the National Park Service, and I brought it back with me. Now, this is very interesting. What do you expect to see in a brochure from a national park on the formation of the volcano and so forth and so on? What would you expect?
Millions and billions of years, evolutionary, and things like
that. That's what you would expect, yes. But as it turns out, that's not what you saw. Nothing really hear about science. I was thinking at least you get something about the about the different forms of species and plants and such.
Yeah,
and something on evolution. You would say maybe even a little pseudoscience.
Yeah.
You would expect some pseudoscience.
So they finally went back to the truth and Noah and the flood.
Nothing like that. Wrong religion.
There's another option.
There is, yes. There's a third. So you have pseudoscience, naturalism, materialism, and humanism, right?
Yeah.
And then you have the Christian faith, but of course the Christian faith is passé.
Right.
We left that 60 years ago.
Okay.
So the Christian religion is pretty much gone everywhere in America. So what would you expect but to find pure paganism?
Really?
Yeah, the whole thing is pure paganism.
What happened to separation of church and state?
Well, forget about that. No. It's the separation of the state and anything that smacks of Christianity.
Okay.
It's the separation of the state and the ruling of Jesus Christ over all kings and lords over the entire earth. It's the fact that we abandon Jesus Christ, and the American national government has become one of the most blasphemous organizations on the face of the earth, turning away from any service whatsoever to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is self-professed, and that comes from the Supreme Court of the United States all the way back from the 1950s and 1960s. But today, our national government is in support of two things, statism and polytheism. Those are the two things that represent the religion of the United States federal government. Remember, every government, every institution, every school, every university will acknowledge some faith, some religion. Neutrality is inescapable. You cannot be neutral. It's impossible to be neutral. When it comes to any form of organization of human beings or any ideology or any institution known to man, it's impossible to be neutral. You have to pick a worldview. You have to pick a religion. And the United States federal government is in 100% support of a polytheistic statist religion. And so this thing is really nothing but paganism. Here's some quotes. The Kaile realm is sacred. Kaimali is the boundary between man and the gods, and on it goes.
Wow.
So it's really a brochure produced by the National Park Service, the U.S. Department of the Interior, on Haleakala National Park that basically contains nothing but sheer paganism.
So it's basically going back to Baal and Asherah and all that, just giving them different names? Is that?
I think that's it, yeah. Now, I was looking around for the scheduling of the next human sacrifice because it's been a long time since Pele's been satisfied, not many virgins sacrificed for the last 200 years since the missionaries came and made something of an impact and stopped human sacrifice, as the Christian faith has in many of the pagan countries around the world. So I was thinking, well, now when is the human sacrifice, the next human sacrifice scheduled for Pele, who is the volcano god for the Hawaiian pagan religions? And as it turns out, there is yet to be a human sacrifice scheduled by the United States National Park Service. And apparently they haven't scheduled it yet, which is sort of shocking. I was expecting it to be next year, next March, I would think, at the very least.
Yeah. But apparently there may be a little bit of bureaucracy to get through to get to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Pele is getting hungry for virgins. And lots and lots of Pele stuff, though, everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you run into Pele constantly throughout. And by the way, you're not supposed to take any rocks because Pele will curse you if you take a rock off the volcano Haleakala.
Yeah. Did you take one?
No, we didn't bother.
Okay.
But I was thinking I might, just to see what would happen.
Just sneak one off.
There's entire books written on how Pele still exists. Pele presents herself to various people and all the stories. So paganism is back in Hawaii. Paganism rules in Hawaii. The missionaries have pretty much lost the game. For a period of time, the missionaries made an impact. That impact was, for about 100 years, displaced by humanism or materialism. Humanism, materialism, I don't think has what it takes to survive. And that's why it's disappearing, slowly but surely, from places like Hawaii and being displaced by the new religion or the old religion of paganism. So that's the process. That's the direction that these nations are going. These old Christian apostate nations are moving from Christianity to humanism, but now humanism to paganism. I just don't think humanism has what it takes to survive. I'm not sure why, but it won't survive.
I think it's probably because man is so fallible and they realize that man really doesn't have the power. And so man has to try to find something outside of himself and above himself, which really kind of turns creation on its head.
It does.
You know, God created man at the end, and so we see the hierarchy of creation. Seventh day, God rests, and so God being the highest because he was the uncreated, and now we get to paganism, which puts man at the bottom and everything else on top of man as being greater than man.
Well, they've turned the creature into the god. They worship the creature rather than the creator. And paganism becomes destructive of any true knowledge at all. Humanism maintains something, some remnants of a Christian world and life view. They borrow capital from Christians and hold on to that for an additional 100 years or so, until finally the self-consistent apostates who have rejected the Christian faith in toto will turn into complete pagans. And that's why the national government, your tax dollars, will pay for paganism, pagan religions taught and sold, propagandized in national park brochures like this one I picked up at Haleakala on Maui Island out in Hawaii. So friends, your federal tax dollars supporting paganism, all-out paganism. Again, this is, I think, representative of what is going to happen across the United States in just about every American public school as well. American public schools will move. They've already moved from Christianity on into humanism, but they're going to transfer into more of a paganism in the years to come. And this is what we see. This is exactly what we see at Haleakala National Park, as represented by this brochure that I brought back. Anyway, what's happening now, we're returning towards a paganism and some pagan religions in this country, and probably most of the ex-Christian countries, the apostate Christian countries, once known as humanist countries. And this paganism is destructive of any true knowledge whatsoever, and will also be destructive of technology and true dominion, and will degrade man and eventually move towards more human sacrifice in order to pacify the pagan gods.
Yeah, well, so a tom-tom is not going to be a directional type of device anymore. It'll go back to the drums.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and things like that. All right, my friends. Well, that's the process. That's the direction that this nation is going. And nations that go when they reject the true Christian faith. And we're reverting back to a paganism in many of the Western countries. And that includes the United States and, of course, Europe as well. We'll see what happens in Africa. Nations that are turning from paganism to Christianity, going the opposite direction. It could be that these nations, these old Gentile nations of the West, will be the pagan nations conducting human sacrifice, and the African nations and some of the Asian nations may be the Christian nations in the years to come. Maybe something of an interesting switch. But these sorts of things happen when apostasy becomes the name of the game in the Western world. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated, get some influence, and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates. Take part in a presidential poll. Support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you here. Steve Vaughn also in studio today as we talk about the turn towards paganism in America as represented by this brochure I brought back from Haleakala National Park. And Steve, I think Christians ought to be very careful with participating in these sorts of things. And Christians who work for the federal government need to be very, very cautious on things like this. Christians have no business endorsing paganism like this, and I don't think we should be working as priests for the state religion, meaning the paganistic polytheism of the day. And again, I want to warn people who work for national parks, people who put together brochures like this for the Haleakala National Park, and people who teach in public schools. I think we need to be very, very careful as Christians not to participate as priests for the national religion. You say, what's the national religion? The national religion is a combination now of polytheism and statism. Statism being a form of humanism or the worship of man. Now, we ought not to worship the state, and I know a lot of Christians are tempted to do that, but we also ought to be very careful not to worship many gods or the polytheism of the pagan tribes, and that is what is happening with the United States federal government. So, especially, I'm speaking to anybody who works for the federal government, and my guess is there are a fair number of people who listen to this program who work for the national federal government or work for the public schools. Be very, very careful not to turn yourself into a priest for the pagan gods, or a priest for the national statist religion of humanism.
So would you say that worshiping the state in the humanistic type thing, that would come in the form of believing that all of your needs and your rights are provided by the state.
Yeah, well, anybody who is assumes the state to be the savior or the one who is the and anytime you attend some of these education seminars and discover that education is the solution to all of man's problems, and you know, you sort of buy into this idea that somehow education is the salvation for modern man. That is the humanism taught by John Dewey. And that is ultimately statism, or the idea that man himself can save himself. And that is an affront to the religion of the true and living God and the true faith as presented in the Word of God. And that is that man is a sinner. Man's ultimate problem is not a lapse in knowledge or a problem with his environment. Man's problem is his sinful heart, inherited from Adam himself. And we need to repent of our sins. We need to come to faith in Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins. We need to remember that's the true faith. That's the faith that needs to be expressed in public school classrooms. And when you teach in public school classrooms, be sure you teach a right anthropology, a right view of man, a right view of God, a right view of reality, a right view of ethics, and a right view of salvation. So be very, very careful that you not turn yourself into a priest for the wrong religion in the public schools. That's the temptation on the part of many public school teachers. So be very, very careful, my friends, that you do not become a priest for the national religion.
And then what about climate change? Is that then the government, the state, turning more towards the paganistic
religion? I think
religion?
So. Yeah. Sure. The New Agey thing, the whole earth worship gig and all that, that is oftentimes promoted by the public schools. Be very, very careful you don't join into those programs as well. All right, now here's another interesting story before we're done with this edition of the radio broadcast today. And that is that there's a new survey. It finds that most Americans still believe in a creator, believe it or not. This is reported by USA Today. It was done by Lifeway Research, which I believe is the Southern Baptist denomination's outreach. And the Lifeway Research found that 3 in 4 U.S. adults identify with a religious denomination, which is no surprise. Also, 72% overall and 46% of nuns agree that since the universe has organization, I think there is a creator who designed it. That's 46% of nuns still believe that there must have been a creator that designed the universe.
Well, almost half.
Yeah. And if you take a look at a lot of these displays at the various centers in these national parks, you're going to find the word designed. Design. These animals were designed so that they would do this, or designed so that they would do that. You find this kind of thing, this reference to design, all the time. Even though they don't intend to refer to a creator or a designer, they're always referring to design because they can't avoid the fact that there is some kind of order in this universe. And so they get back to it all again and again. So anyway, it's interesting, Steve, that still in America, there is something of a common grace. There's still something of a capital that has been dragged in from previous generations, and some 72% of Americans still believe that God created them or there is a creator who designed this universe. Moreover, 66% of Americans and 33% of nuns agree with this statement. Since people have morality, I think there is a creator who defines morality. So very interesting. Now there, you know, obviously the survey was set up such that they had to almost agree with that statement.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe in morality, is it possible that there might be a creator who ultimately designed the concept of morality itself? And that, of course, makes perfect sense. That is what we call a presuppositional argument, that if there are moral creatures, there must be some absolute out there that describes and defines absolute morality. And so lots and lots of people have to agree to that statement, and indeed they did in this survey.
Yeah, and so if you are a creature who speaks, then do you think that there is a God who actually speaks that made you? Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because a what cannot create a who, and if this what cannot speak, then that thing cannot create something higher than itself. So we have to have a God who speaks who actually created us to speak.
Now, as it turns out, Steve, the millennials are less likely to agree with these statements. And that's a point made in the survey. The millennials less likely. And we made that point again and again. The millennials are representing a huge apostasy from the Christian faith. But 66% of Americans still believe that there's a creator out there who defines morality. Now, one fact you got to remember, one fact is that people tend to be inconsistent. Almost nobody's consistent. They contradict themselves all the time. So that's one thing you got to remember about these surveys and about the average person out there. you begin to talk to these people, you find they're inconsistent. This is what you find in Ray Comfort's videos, like Audacity. Just came out, watched it over the weekend. Audacity, very interesting. He does his interviews and finds that people are inconsistent. People actually try to agree there is a creator. Is this creator having anything to say about morality? Yes, he does. Then why are you living the homosexual lifestyle? Because I want to.
Yeah.
That's the direction they always go.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? They tend to be inconsistent. People's inconsistencies ultimately define who they are. These inconsistencies are basically reflections of their sinfulness. They won't acknowledge that God's laws are conveyed in the Word of God itself. They don't want to admit that they themselves break God's laws and that sin is the transgression of the law. That's the part of the gospel they don't want to hear. They'll say, yes, there is a creator. Yes, he has something to say about morality. But his morality is a reflection of my morality. His definition of what is right and wrong has got to be a reflection of my definition of right and wrong. And my definition of right and wrong tends to move all the time. There's no absoluteness to it because I am not consistent to the law of God, nor to my own law. I tend to break my own law as well. 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So there it's the definition of sin. And that's the part of the gospel that most people don't really want to hear. Remember, the gospel is Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel. And the part of the gospel they don't like is that little word sin, because if they dig into that little word sin, they look it up in the dictionary, or in 1 John 3:4, they're going to find the definition of it. Sin is the transgression of the law. And where there is no law, there is no transgression, according to Romans 4:15. And that's the piece of it that they don't really want to grapple with.
Yeah, and that even goes clear back to the beginning, because the original law was don't eat of this tree. And, Adam and Eve decided that they were going to determine what's right and wrong. And that's really where all sin goes back to, is that, you know, it's basically saying to yourself, if I were God, I would allow this to be okay.
Yeah, I think sometimes people say it's okay to say that thou shalt have no other gods before me or something like that. But when you get down to, you know, asking the question, have I constructed any other gods that take the place of the true and living God? Do I serve myself more than the true and living God? Do I serve materials more than the true and living God? Do I worship money much sooner than I would worship and serve the true and living God? They say, well, no, you're getting a little too personal here. You see, people don't want to see themselves as sinners. And that's the rub, I think, with the average American. They don't want to acknowledge that they themselves are sinners, and they don't want to acknowledge that homosexuality is a death penalty crime as defined by Romans 1 and Leviticus 18 or Leviticus 20, and that those who commit the sin of homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God per 1 Corinthians 6. They don't want to admit that. For some reason, everybody gets very embarrassed and apologetic when it comes to what the Bible says about these specific sins. And I think the reason for that is because it's reminiscent of the judgment of God. It's a descriptive of the judgment of God. The reason why they get a little uncomfortable when you talk about capital crimes, as in the case of homosexuality, they don't really want to get to the real capital crime, and that is the capital crimes they commit all the time. That is the sins that deserve eternal death. We're not talking about just a temporal death of civil magistrate putting you to death, but you're lying, you're fornicating, your lust, your pride, etc. They don't want to acknowledge that these are sins against God that warrants eternal death in hellfire forever. That's the piece they don't really want to deal with. So when they get all upset with you and concerned about this homosexuality being a crime deserving of capital punishment, the real reason they're upset is because that is a reminder to them of the eternal judgment of God upon their sin, and people certainly don't want to go there. So I think that's where we begin to see the inconsistencies in people's worldviews. They don't want to admit that they have sinned. They need a Savior. They need to repent of their sin. They themselves are subject to the judgment of God, and they need that covering only provided by the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross.
Yeah, and so if you're going to say that somebody else deserves that judgment, then you're actually pointing the finger at yourself as well. So nobody gets judgment, and therefore I don't get judgment, because when you start talking about other people deserving judgment or justice, you know, I think that's why when somebody murders, they don't want them to be put to death. They want them to rot in prison and think about what they've done, because they don't believe that there is judgment after death. And so because if I do, then I myself might be judged and I don't want to go there.
The benefit to the Lifeway survey is that we find 72% of Americans still believe there's a creator and 66% say this creator has the right to make up rules. And if that be the case, then we have an opening. Then we have some common ground upon which to move into these inconsistencies and get to the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we did on this edition of the program. So that's why I think it's important for our listeners to understand that 72% of the people you walk up to in America know that there's a creator. They know that he has an opinion when it comes to right and wrong, and he has opinion as to how they should act. If that be the case, now we can begin to get into the issue of sin, and now we can begin to move our direction into the direction of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and hopefully bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ through our witness. So friends, that I think is the moral of the story from this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. America is not beyond evangelism. Americans still have something of an inkling of the truth of God's word. Now, as it turns out, there is a bit of a polytheistic flair that is being promoted by the United States federal government, which further confuses the matter. But we need to continue to get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ and point out that our only possibility for salvation from our sin comes through Jesus Christ. It cannot come through human sacrifice. It cannot come through the superficial religions as presented by the Muslim faith, et cetera, et cetera. It can only come by the imposition of Jesus Christ upon our world, coming in human flesh, dying on the cross for our sins, and presenting this salvation to us. So this, my friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's come back to this again and again in our witness. And that is pretty much the upside to this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.